Good morning, all. One of the first indications of the Christmas season is the appearance of lights. So we've had one light this morning. I'm sure there are going to be many more lights. Has anyone got their Christmas tree up yet? Who's got the Christmas tree up? Okay, we've got the Christmas tree up, but Katrina's been thinking about it since July. So, you know, this is really getting it quite... You know, said December was the earliest we could put it up, but we have been talking about it for a long time. But once these lights start to appear on trees, candles, in people's windows, this radiance is going out everywhere. And it is appropriate, isn't it? Because it's the darkest time of the year. And people are much happier in the summer. Do you think that? Do you think people, you know, people kind of go in on themselves? Heads go down. Oh, it's so cold. So dark. Lights are symbolic. Symbolic of something wonderful that can change from darkness into light. And the prophet Isaiah here is speaking about the light dawning, or more literally, flashing suddenly upon people living in darkness. Lights give life. Without light, there can be no life. We've all learned that in school, in our biology class in school, that light is the source of life. Without the sun, we would freeze. And in the Bible, it says that without the light of God, we can't exist. In Him, we live and we move and we have our being. If God was to take His power away for even a second, we would die. According to the Bible, all of us will eventually experience physical death. But we can even experience spiritual death now if we are cut off from that life source, God Himself. And many people they look physically alive, but inside they are spiritually dead. And as we come into the Christmas season, we will no doubt look very alive. But the question is, are we spiritually alive? Do we have that light and that life pulsating within us, that life of God? Light gives us truth. If you drive a car without any headlights on, you'll soon be in trouble. We all know that. And the light shines on the fact around us. There's a wall coming. Get out of the way. Steer the car in the right direction. But many of us live our lives without the guidance of God, without the light of His truth bearing down on us each day. God's truth is essential if we want to live lives of purpose and of safety and of a good end destination. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable to get directions. Many of us may have the experience of members of the family telling us we've taken the wrong turning. And we resent it. We say, be quiet, backseat driver. But what if they're telling the truth? What if we are going in the wrong direction? Then they're actually helping us. And sometimes when God's light of truth shines on our lives, we resent it. And we say, how dare you tell me how to live my life? But it's because God loves us that He shines His light into the dark parts of our life. And light gives joy. We know as the nights get darker, well, the nights were always dark, weren't they? But as the days get darker, people say that you get more depression. If you're ever going to give Bible teaching on depression, don't do it in January, because people will not thank you for that. They want a more upbeat message in January, because sometimes without that light, we start to feel down. People are sad. They have seasonal affective disorder. And perhaps even purchase a lamp which will shine some artificial light, but which will help them to feel better. But in that hymn that we sang earlier today, it talked about the place in the future that God has prepared for us. It's a place where the streets shine. It's a place where the book of Revelation says there will be no sun, because God himself will provide all the light we need. And there will be no sadness, because he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. My message today is taken from Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. Let's read them again. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There's one word here at the beginning of chapter 9. Nevertheless, this is a word that I want you to remember, so I'll be coming back to that. But the way the chapter turns, it's really important to see what was before it, to see the message that the world is in darkness. I've just come back from the Middle East, from Lebanon, from Jordan. If I share one or two stories over the next few weeks, and if I'm a little bit vague, then it's deliberate, because the people I was with don't want their names mentioned. Sometimes we don't want a specific place mentioned. But the reason why I want to share is because I felt I was in a place of real spiritual darkness, more than any place I'd been in my life before. To get woken up at 4 a.m. with a loudspeaker next to the flat, calling me to prayer to a God that I don't believe in. Sitting up in bed, knowing that I'm living next to 300,000 Muslims. And then the next thing is I'm on the top of this citadel in the center of Amman, Jordan. And it's a bit like Edinburgh Castle, except it's even more spectacular. Can you imagine Edinburgh Castle, much bigger, but a whole 360 city all around you? And from every direction, there's a call to prayer, call to evening prayer. And I know that within that city, there are very few followers of Jesus. And see, Isaiah was living in a time of darkness where it was even worse than that, because the people who knew God decided not to trust in him. The people who knew all about God decided not to listen and to live in rebellion to God. And Isaiah was one of the few left who remained faithful and who waited for God to turn the situation around. And he was a beacon of hope in a place where very few people believed. He was a beacon of hope in a place where very few people followed. And perhaps That could be your situation today. Maybe you're the only person in your family who follows Jesus. Perhaps you're the only person in your workplace who follows Jesus. And sometimes you feel a great minority. And what advice, what counsel do we get from this passage? Well, first of all, we simply have to accept that the world is in darkness. This could be through a lack of knowledge that no one has actually shared with them. At the end of my 8 days away, I'd heard a lot about how you share the faith with Muslims. And on the plane, on the way back, on the five-hour plane journey, there was a Muslim girl next to me. And I'd heard a lot about you've got to be really careful, men and women, and having conversations. So I was especially careful about it. But God just opened up this conversation where she was so hungry to know more about Jesus Christ. And we talked for a long time. And that was such an encouragement coming back from, 8 days where we're talking a handful of people that were turning to follow Jesus in a land with millions. But this word, nevertheless, is a word that I want you to take hold of, because it's so easy to get despondent. It's so easy to not understand that God is in control. I'll give you some statistics here to encourage you. For 1,400 years since Muhammad was born, there has been very little fruit in Christianity going into the Muslim world. Perhaps it's because not many people have wanted to go and share. And certainly even today, very few people want to become missionaries in the Muslim world, because it's quite dangerous. But for 1,400 years, very little fruit. Year 2000 to year 2012, well-documented 69 movements of Jesus followers in the Muslim world. What's a movement? A movement is 1,000 baptisms or 100 small churches. 69 within 12 years between year 2000 and year 2012. And between 2012 and 2017, an additional 300 movements. 69 movements, 69,000 baptisms between 2000 and 2012. And in the last 5 years, another 300,000. Because God is on the move. God is breaking in to the Muslim world. Just as God was breaking in to the communist world. In your lifetime, no doubt, you knew a time when it was illegal to bring a Bible into Eastern Europe, when it was illegal to bring a Bible into the communist lands. But now it's all changed. It's completely changed since the fall of the Berlin Wall. And there's a trickle of God's revival happening in the Muslim world today. And I had the privilege of spending time with people that have been there for maybe 30 years and have seen nothing. But over the last 5-10 years, they're starting to see real encouragement. And I was even meeting some believers. I was taken into a village. It's somewhere in the Middle East. And in this village, there was a man who had decided that he did not believe in the God of Muhammad. It was very dangerous for him to make that public, and even some bullets were left on his door because he was saying he did not believe in the God of Muhammad. And he went into the desert and he said, I know you're there. I know you're there, but I know that you're not the God of Muhammad. Who are you? And as he prayed, it was not long before he heard about a Christian who was living in another town, and he went to see him. And this man came to faith. He's a follower of Jesus. He doesn't go to the mosque. He doesn't go to church either. But he holds Bible studies in his home with other Muslims, and he's being supported in that. And it's amazing how God is able to break in. This word, nevertheless, speaks about God has done something. God has intervened. God has turned the tide. And this scripture was written 800 years before Jesus Christ came to the earth. This scripture was speaking in advance of what God was going to do to turn darkness into light. The ignorance, the fact that people did not know God, would be turned around because God was going to do something to turn that around. The fact that people were following other gods, even in this passage, in if you look with me at the end of chapter 8, it says in verse 19, people are consulting mediums and spiritists. And that's also true today, that people have no time for Christianity, but they will be quite happy to check out some other sources of guidance, the horoscope, or something a bit more serious, going to a spiritualist church or something like that. Because that's quite easy, because you retain your autonomy. You're still the boss as you play with all of these things. But when you become a Christian, you come under the guidance of God. The God's light and God's life comes into you, and you're never the same again. And I guess we also live in a world where we have atheism, where the pride of man says that I can do things by myself. I don't need God. There was a man called Viktor Havel. He's the first president of the Czech Republic. And he was able to see capitalism and communism, and he wrote about responses to human problems. And he said that the pursuit of the good life will not help humanity save itself, nor is democracy alone enough. What is needed is a turning to and a seeking of God. The human race constantly forgets that man is not God, that we're not at the center of the universe, that God is at the center of the universe. Science can be brilliant, but if it excludes God, it's overreached itself. Politics can be useful, but if it excludes God, it's overreached itself. Business can be useful, but if it excludes God, it's overreached itself. God needs to be brought back into the center. And God, in his grace, did not wait for us to wake up. God did not wait for us to turn around in our own strength. He did something. He sent his Son into the world. Nevertheless, the turning point came. with the birth of Jesus Christ. So how can this light become our light? Well, here we have the words in chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. To us, to you, to me, God did this for you. God did this for me because he loves us, because he does not want us to walk in darkness, because he does not want us to live in sadness, because he does not want us to die. He wants us to live forever. So he says, to you, a child is born. To you, a son is given. And it's given. It's a gift. He does it because, not because we deserve it. He does it because he wants us to be changed. He does it out of his great mercy. And all through the Bible, we have this evidence of God stepping in. It says in Romans chapter 1 that because of our rebellion against God, that God will hand us over to the consequences of all our bad decisions. It says the same in Isaiah. It says constantly throughout Isaiah that because of our rebellion against him, he lets us go. He lets us go. And if that was the end of the story, it would be very depressing. But it's not the end of the story, because there's always a but. And in Romans chapter 1, it says that the wrath of God is revealed on the earth. Men and women handed over to the consequences of all their bad decisions. But now, a righteousness from God has been revealed. But now, in the book of Titus, it says, the grace of God has appeared. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we were dead in transgressions and in sins. But God, because of his great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive again. And it's by grace that he did this. It's a son is given to us. And who is this son? It says here that he is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. These words describe God himself. Only God can be called wonderful counselor. Only God can be called powerful God. Only God can be called the originator of life, the everlasting Father. Only God can be called the Prince of Peace. But this is spoken of a child born in a manger, in an ordinary home, so that we could know him. This light can become your light. This Christ is the light for you when all other lights have gone out, and you know they've gone out, and you're looking for answers, and Christ is the light for you. We need to have this hope on our hearts this Christmas. We're commanded to be ready, to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that's in us. And I want to ask you this morning, on these dark days, on these cold days, on these days when Donald Trump is tweeting to our Prime Minister, on these days when there's nothing but Brexit, 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 every single news item, and everyone's getting really down about it, are we giving a different message? Are we giving a different contribution to that conversation? Or are we just like everybody else? We should be people who listen, but then say, nevertheless, there's good news. That God is in control of history. That God has broken into history in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that we do not need to be down because we have a hope which will last forever. We can have a relationship with God today, irrespective of the circumstances. He can be our wonderful counselor. We can be facing great personal problems where we just feel we do not have the power to solve them, but we have a mighty God. We may have conflict in our life, in the family or in the workplace or even in the church, but we worship the Prince of Peace. So are we people who say nevertheless? Are we people who say that God has broken into our lives and has given us a different perspective on life? The people that I met were truly inspiring because they were people of the nevertheless. They said, you know, we've been working in this land for years and we've seen nothing. We've seen no encouragement. But why are we here? We're not here for results. It's not as if we send once a year into the mission agency and say, well, how many people became Christians? Well, none of them did. Well, you better come home then. You're obviously an abject failure. No, it's not like that. It's because they are waiting for God to break in. Because they believe that God broke in 2,000 years ago when he sent his Son Jesus into the world. And they believe that God will break in again. And they have faith. And as they lived by faith, they have been rewarded. Because, as I said, since the year 2000, they're starting to see wonderful things happening. There's Muslims having dreams of Jesus coming to them in their sleep. That is something that no Christian evangelist can do. But God can do it. Even in the most closed and darkest places, God can speak directly to human hearts. And so with God, all things are possible. With man, it seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I want you to enter this Christmas season with me, with faith, with hope, and with light streaming out of your very being. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know what you're missing. He loves you and he gave himself for you. And today, if you would simply acknowledge that you need him, acknowledge that you need his light, his guidance, acknowledge that you need his forgiveness, he will wipe the slate clean because he died on the cross for you. This child grew up to be a man, and he died on the cross. Isaiah speaks about it about 50 chapters later. Isaiah 53. Come back and you'll hear more about it, because we often preach the cross most weeks. But today I just want you to say, there is a nevertheless over your life. There's a nevertheless over your life. I met a lad from Iraq who was so... Well, he cooked a lovely Iraqi meal. I remember that. But then he told us... I'll finish with this. I'm watching the clock. I'm being careful how I say this. He was distributing aid in a part of the Middle East, and someone said to him, "Don't just give aid to this tribe. Just give it to that tribe. Don't give it to that tribe." And he said, "That's wrong. As a Muslim, I believe that's wrong. That's not just. So I'm going to doctor the paperwork." And so for 6 months, he doctored the paperwork. And then he got found out. And then someone said to him, "Flee the country. You're in big trouble." And he fled the country. And away from his family, he started to get really depressed. And he got really down. Then he decided he would take his own life. And he was about to throw himself in front of this lorry. And he was just getting ready to launch himself. This person grabbed him from behind and pulled him off the road and said that God had put him on their heart and that he wanted to tell them not to despair, that there is a God who loves him and his son Jesus. And this man became a Christian and is now a secret evangelist all over the Middle East. So he was about to take his own life, and some other Christian was led by God to say, "Nevertheless, there is good news that you have not yet known." And I pray that if you don't know Jesus this morning, that you would know that he can turn your life around forever for the better. And if you are a Christian this morning, let's lift up our heads, let's put a smile on our faces, and let's say nevertheless, because there is an amazing God who is able to break in at any time. Let us pray. This is reading from Psalm 130 about people waiting for the light. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full freedom." Oh God, we thank you for these words, and we make that our prayer this morning. We put our hope in you. If we don't know you very well, we pray that you would shine your light into our hearts today, that we may understand the Son that has been given to us, Jesus Christ the Lord. Shine your light in today, we pray. And we pray, as believers here this morning, that you would remind us that the hope of glory is in our hearts. God lives within us. He has given us an amazing future and has promised to give us his presence right here, right now. So whatever we are facing in our lives today, By faith we say, with God all things are possible. By faith we say, nevertheless, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for saving us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill us with your life, with your hope, and that you would put a song on our hearts to thank you and to praise you. Come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.